This is RSBB Update, episode 471, recorded Friday, June 27, 2014. The Lollipop. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us with RSBNB Update. I am Shane1208A with my illustrious co-host, entitled...
Tricky.
How are you doing today?
I'm tired, but let's do this.
Yeah, with both of our afflictions, we'll end up undoubtedly having this done at quite a decent rate. And before anyone... guesses, I do sound different, and it's because the allergies decided to make a comeback today for some odd reason, so that's why I sound like I do right now. It does sound... It does sound kind of nasally, but that is just what we've been given for this episode of RSBNB Update, so enjoy it while you can, as it's something you won't hear for quite some time, hopefully.
Okay, so we got Disco Chompas that came out this week.
Yeah, lovely little creatures that yearn to explode and, you know, give everyone a bit of an extra bonus. But nice little way of tying hunting in with the rest of the skilling universe, I'll say.
You're killing innocent animals, man.
Yeah, but remember from last week's Behind the Scenes video, they said that they do... like to blow themselves up, just because it brings them such joy. So.
Lemmings. Okay, so. Anyway, Risky Member can start catching Socompas from level 27 using box traps. So Shane, you caught any this week?
Yeah, I did. I did do a bit of a test with the skill Chompas. I mainly tested the high-level Crimson ones, which do require level 89 Hunter in order to capture, and, you know, through box trapping methods and whatnot. A nice thing about these skill chinchompas is that each of them do end up having their own place in the world as to where you have to catch them. So they're not, you're not going to find them at the regular chinchompa spot. To give you a bit of an example here, the Cobalt Chinchompa, you'll find in a new Kandaran hunter area, which is located just near the Tree Gnome Stronghold, to the north of the Grand Tree. That's
okay. Cool.
That's where you find the Cobalt. Then of course
inside.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then, of course, after that, we do have the Viridian Azure and Crimson. Now, the Viridian skill Chinchompas can be caught at a new Port Faze Mates Hunter area. So this is a little bit different than we are used to with Port Faze Mates. It's kind of near where you end up. Going in to the Ghost City through the Ectophiel. Now, the next one's the Azure Chinchompas are up at Trollwise Hunter area, which we all know where that is. That's far up north near the Blood of Butterfly area. This is kind of close to where some people do Black Butterfly hunting. Then, of course, we finally have the Crimson Chinchompas, which are directly to the northwest of the Menaphos town in the desert, which we don't have access to yet. This is, of course, going to be where most people will probably want to spend hunter time if they want to train hunter and one of these other two skills together. So there's your four Chinchompas and where you can find them.
Okay, cool. So... Did you use them on any, you know, on the mining or fishing or?
Well, I used them on the ones I caught. I just did a small sample worth. I did them on fishing. You can use them also on divination, mining, and woodcutting. Basically, the way the fishing one works is that for each of the chompas, you're given between a 1 and 4% chance of successfully higher catching one of the fish. So it just improves the speed at which you catch the fish. So that might be something you want to do there. Mining and woodcutting ones work similarly to rune and dragon pickaxes for the top two highest tiered skill chompas. So, for example, let's say you don't want to buy a dragon hatchet, you could use the crimson skill chompas for that. And it's also worth noting that you do get 10% bonus XP when you successfully use one of these skill chompas. And if you use them unsuccessfully, you just get a small amount of XP. It's like 1 or 2 XP based on what you're doing. Now, the one I've left for last, the divination skill chompa, this gives you either a 15, 10, 5, or 3% chance of getting enriched memories when harvesting wisps. Now, I personally think this is the most useful skill chompa out there.
Which one is that one?
Well, it doesn't matter which one you use for the skills. So a crimson skill chompa can be used for mining, woodcutting, fishing, or divination. It doesn't matter what type.
Okay.
So it's nice and simple in that regard. Like, you don't need to specifically say, okay, I'm going to go hunt and chompas to use with woodcutting. So that keeps things nice and simple.
All right.
Now, the divination one...
Can you trade them?
Oh, yes, of course you can trade them. This is actually where
good
we see...
Good moneymaker for lower people.
Exactly, where we see most of the movement with this update. The current grand exchange price for a Crimson Skill Chompa, which requires level 61 and either skill to use it and 8900 to capture it, they're currently going for for 31,598 GP on the Grand Exchange Perchin Chompa right now. So
that's one expensive fish.
Yeah, it is an excellent way of making money for new people who are wanting to go out and hunting these things and make a quick profit off them. I will note that when you're hunting these skill chompas, I have level 90 hunter. I was in the desert area with hunting the crimson ones that require level 89, as you do, and basically these things captured very, very quickly. They give around 450 XP per pop if anyone's interested, but I didn't have any camo, which actually doesn't work in that hunter area, and I didn't have an Arctic bear out to artificially boost my hunter level, so I can only imagine that it would have been much faster if I would have had those boosts going for me. So it's not a hard thing to get, and it does provide a method of training herblore. I mean, hunter, for people, skillers specifically, who might want to train hunter and tie it in with other skills, specifically divination, woodcutting, mining, and fishing. So keep that in mind if you're training any of these skills and want to train hunter as well. It's good for those people like myself who are starting to want to be self-sufficient. So when I ultimately decide that it's time to go get 99 divination in order to speed things up, I will pick up the enrichment aura, I believe it's called, and combine those with these crimson chinchompas, skill chinchompas, in order to further increase the amount of enriched memories that I harvest from the wisps. So as I said, it seems like divination is the most useful for these, and you can wield them just like any chinchompa, so you're not taking up inventory space.
Yay. So you think it's worth it for high-level people like you and me who kind of have everything all close to 90, 99?
You know, it's a matter of how you want to play the game, and I'll touch on this a bit later in the balancing podcast because these were specifically mentioned. To me, this update is for the player who wants to add variety to their routine and wants to, you know, take maybe a bit more time in training these skills and get a bit more XP along the way through doing this, rather than, you know, just going to the Draconic Jadinkos and doing those, which are immense hunter XP past level 80. So it's not going to displace those as a main source of XP, because the top one at level 89 only gives 450 experience. So it's worth it if you have lots of money to burn and you want to train faster, or if you're trading multiple skills at the same time.
Okay, cool. So you think the other the experience stacks with other outfits? You get a little bit of extra experience when you're wielding these, so if you're wielding, you know, mining outfit that gives you bonuses, does that add up?
Well, yeah, it's much the same way, you know, as if you're using bonus XP and you have the divination outfit, for example, that gives you a total of an extra 6% divination XP if you got all the pieces. So these things are going to just stack on like that. And, I mean, who can argue with 10% bonus XP, right?
I think you've been arguing that for a while, Shane.
Well, I mean, bonus XP is something that we probably have too much of in the game currently, but I don't see a problem with bonus XP if it's gained through a method like this, compared to, you know, just saying going out somewhere and getting a bunch of bonus XP and just blindly having that on your account, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, is there anything else you want to say about Scotch and Champas?
Just when you're getting them, as usual with the whole Chinchampa idea, is the right-click drop option is actually a release option, so if you lose all of them, it'll just completely disappear.
Disappear?
Yeah. So just keep
that. Okay, mind. Well... All right, then. So anyway, if you want some Skullchompas, go catch them, go get them. And for now, they're worth a pretty penny. And they're
gotta
worth more than Rocktails are used to catch.
Gotta catch
Pokemon.
Them all. Sorry, I just had to throw that in, being a hunting update. One thing that was asked in the FAQ is, are these things going to devalue the Dragon Pickaxe? And the answer to that is no, because the Dragon Pickaxe, you only pay for once. You can put it on your tool belt and use it for a whole bunch of other things in-game, and, you know, you don't necessarily need to worry about that. And secondly, in regards with this, you are effectively overriding that method of getting the XP, so... they do not stack with the Dragon Pickaxe.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks, Shane. I guess we'll move on to polling next, aren't we?
Yeah, that sounds
good
thing.
So we have three topics. We had Legacy Mode, the Skill Kit rework, and a little survey about the Elf City. So Legacy Mode, first things first. Yay or nay?
I ultimately... decided to vote yes in this for a couple of reasons. First
one.
Thought
you didn't want it.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to actually end up using this thing, but there's a couple of reasons as to why I ultimately decided to vote yes in this. The first one is that, as you guys remember, we had Schwa on the show last week, and if I can get Schwa to come back to the main game and a couple of other people that I know from previously who, you know, aren't the whole fanatical types who are totally anti-EOC, that would always be good. Because if I can get these people to come back, log gameplaying, I mean, that just enhances my gameplay as much as it does yours. Another reason I voted yes for this is because I would like to see the PvP community come back. And I do take an interest in that community in terms of selling potions and whatnot to them, because I mean, it's good for the economy if potions have an use and aren't, you know, just totally useless like certain ones are out there right now. And the third reason I'm voting yes kind of goes towards what one of our members said this week, 101.1, he said that if we don't vote yes and this doesn't go through, Jagex will ultimately end up doing something else in the future that, you know, is much worse than Legacy, and I mean, it's just more painful to the game experience in general. So basically, we can put Legacy in and be done with this debate once and for all.
And basically, as we said last week, Legacy is really a way to replace Momentum, because Momentum is other junk.
Yeah, and I mean, just to go on that regard, there was some forum threads this week that I highlighted of people who really didn't know what they were talking about, but you and I tested that, and we know that the Legacy combat mode is effectively similar to Revolution without using thresholds or ultimates.
Mm-hmm. We talked about that last week when you, me, and Mike were testing it out, although, you know, we wasn't that big of a difference between EOC and Legacy when we were trying it out, but we had a relatively small sample.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be a little more significantly different later on. But one of the things was, you know, as we said last week, Legacy, you know, Revolution for many of us is a whole lot better. It's more fun, it's more interactive, and you do kill things a little bit faster, and you're more involved in the game. I actually had someone PM me in the game, Doc. He was talking about how he listened to our podcast and tried it both ways out and realized that we were right, that Revolution was more fun for him than just click, watch a show, click, watch a show, click, watch a show, click, serve a website. So for him, you know, Doc really enjoyed it, and you know, he kind of agreed with us. And you know, it was good to see people try things, try both of them out before, you know, just saying one way or the other. And you know, just to, you know, kind of, it's really to replace Momentum. Revolution is there as the median place, and those who really want to stay more manual, regular EOC is there. You know, have fun, try it out, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Right now, Legacy mode is winning by almost 80% yes, 20% no, and I guess it should, well, it will stay that way for the rest of the week.
Yeah, there's only like 3 days left on this poll. It's a 1 week poll, and I mean, like, the full free to play can vote if you created before January 2013. That's an interesting dynamic here at play as well. So, take it for what it's worth. Did you vote yes or no?
I voted no.
Okay.
And we were talking about it because we believe that Revolution and EOC is more interactive and more fun.
Yeah.
And, at least for me, it's more fun.
And I mean, let's be real. The reason we're having this whole discussion is because there's a perfect way of going around and getting something that looks like Legacy mode in the game with using the existing Evolution of Combat mechanics, and that's simply having the new interface system team create an interface that is either brown or blue silver in much the way that the pre-RS3 interface was. So that would be the way of going about that, and maybe changing some of the stances and icons and other little things here and there. But this is the option that is more visually apparent, and it's out there right away. So this is the way to do it in order to, you know, get more people on side, even though we would end up with the same result at the end. So let's just say this is the more politically palatable option for Jagex.
All right. Next poll, we have the Skill Cape graphical rework. And basically, as it sounded, they're going to rework the skill cape.
Yeah,
I voted yes.
Okay. I haven't decided yet on this one. It said 83% yes, 16% no. I mean, obviously, we know which way this is going now. And there's going to be a future poll that will decide, is this going to be a tiny rework, like maybe just changing the animations and the looks of the capes to make them seem more modern? Oh, or is it going to be a completely different design?
All right. I don't think it would be completely different. Probably update how it looks and the animation, the Immuticon. I'm up for it. I wouldn't mind doing something new with my fishing cape, and I do have a whole wardrobe of capes in my home.
Yeah. And I mean, I can see why they want to do this. This is definitely an older piece of content now. And when you look at them, they are iconic in their own right, but they do have a couple of graphical issues associated with them. So my only question with this is, how are these going to fit in with the Master Skill capes and how they look right now?
Oh, the 120 ones?
Yeah.
Oh,
Because
I don't
those are fresh. Those came out earlier this year. So I mean, yeah, we can redesign the way the skill capes look and everything, but how do
Stay
you
rewarded to
approach a new
those who got
design?
120.
Yeah, how do you keep that design separate?
They can do something like what they do with the completionist cape, where if you have the 99, and you get the like non-tinted dragon, where you get everything and the whole mega completionist cape one. You get the whole tinted dragon and everything else. So I'm gonna add something to that effect. Make it same thing, just grander at the 120 level.
Yeah, I guess that would work.
Okay.
And the last
Yeah, so
one?
what to say about this one?
Nope, I'm
Okay,
good on that one.
last one is elf design. Do we want us to keep releasing more information about the elf city? Yes or no? And of course, 55 people have said yes,
Well,
10% say no, 33 says I don't care.
one slight correction for this is that this is design documents in general in the future. So if there's another big update coming out, say invention, do we want to have design documents on that particular issue? Now, there's a very important little piece of text to read under these options. It says that, this was valuable feedback to us, but in doing it, it takes significant development time. So should we do that? Because of that main reason, I voted no on this one.
I voted no as well, but not for the same reason you did.
Oh, okay, why?
I voted no because they're really introducing the Elf City, which is nice, but then you're also taking away from the experience of having to explore the whole place.
Yeah.
It for me, it feels like it's kind of like the Simpsons movie that came out a couple of years ago. They had so much advertisement about little clips here and there of the movie that when I actually saw the movie, it was like every single joke was already on YouTube. Or, wherever it was. And so it was like, well, all you really need to know was just what order the ads would come in the movie, and you basically saw the whole movie. And it really took a lot of the laughter and joy out of that movie because it suffered from over advertisement. Yeah, that's what I'm kind of feeling about now. They just released a video, which we'll mention it later on, of how the Elf City and all the houses and everything else. It's like, great, but we're not. You're telling us what they are, what they do, and everything else. We have no chance to really explore. We already know everything. Then by the time we get there, there's no awe and shock value.
So you're essentially saying that having a seat at the table
Keep
has
it.
cut down the magic a bit.
Well, you remember? This was like at least a decade ago when EOC was no RuneScape 2 was just starting to come out. I can't remember which quest it was, but it was one of the very first quests that like did cutscenes very well and everything, and how all of us were like all in shock when the camera started moving to location. Didn't do that in RuneScape Classic. It showed off things that you never saw before, and it was just like a nice little shock value for those who've been playing since 2001, and just to see how it evolved from RuneScape Classic to RuneScape 2. And now just basically spoon feeding us the Elf City, and it's like, yeah, it's good to know what's kind of there, what we expect, but then again, you're gonna suffer from over-advertisement. Oh, well, that's how the tower looks. It looks like a general tower for now, right now. How are they gonna shock the player when it's finally released, when you get to go in? Or they're just gonna throw in a little flower everywhere and make it all natural and vines and say, it's the Elf City. And it's not gonna be as fantastic when it's released. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a perfectly good way of thinking about it because, I mean, there are people out there who are pure questers in that they don't like to know what the rewards are going to be from the very beginning. And basically, you need to have in your mind that, you know, maybe this is taking something away. And in that regard of what you said, I feel sorry for those kind of people.
Read. Sorry. Yeah, so that's basically it for the polls. You have anything else to mention about these?
No, I'm good.
All right. Yeah, you know, cast your vote, cast your ballot, and we'll guess we'll move on to tweaks and fixes. Well, it's a really light show this week. Light notes this week, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of them. I just put together six of the ones that are jumping out at me. I can run through those now if you'd like.
Go for it.
All right, so the first one is the Party Hat Fire Making Override now works in Dungeoneering, which is kind of an odd thing that that wouldn't work there, but I guess if there's a hard separation between Dungeoneering and non-Dungeoneering, that makes sense. Aggaroth, the end boss monster from A Shadow Over Ashdale, now resets on Wednesdays with all the other D&Ds, so basically this is the guy you can go to where you get effectively three large prismatic lamps per week. I'm sorry, I mean two when you go fight him, so you can do that every Wednesday now. Now this is something people have been very happy about this week, and it's really been needed for quite some time in RS in general, and that is magic and ranged equivalents for the Takhar Kal Cape in the fight guild. So that's the basically the mini game you do after the initial fight caves. And in this, you basically get a colored one, green for ranged, blue for magic, and they have the same stats as the melee cape, but they're just slanted in that combat direction. You know, as you and I have always said, this is one of the problems with the combat update of 2012. Is that, you know, even though we have things to make the combat triangle equal, there was still a bunch of stuff that only had melee variants. So it is nice to see this finally.
Do you have to fight them each time to get one each ones, or
well, yeah,
just one
do.
And hopefully? Okay, you so you got to fight three times to get all three.
Yeah, and it works based on how you do the most damage. So if you do the most ranged damage, you'll get the ranged one melee damage. Same sort of thing right there.
Oh, okay.
A seven cool. Slayer task can now be blocked at 350 quest points.
We had six?
Yeah, I think so.
Huh.
Oh, no, seven.
Really wasn't
seven.
Paying attention.
Seven. Oh. I'm sorry.
Well, now it's seven.
I just read that wrong, I guess. So, there's that. Now, there's some good stuff for farming here. The Scroll of Life effect is no longer filtered, so previously you'd only see your Scroll of Life working if you had all the game chat on, and we know how busy that can get. So basically now, if you recover something extra, you're given a nice little message. You're also giving a message when digging up a dead tree or dead crop, if you recovered something with it. So this is a much-needed update. And this has actually resulted in me going back to herb farming patches before, because I got something and I didn't exactly know if I forgot to put the seed in the ground or not. So this is welcome on my part.
Yay.
And more Dungeoneering items will now be kept on death. So this is things like the Bone Crusher, the Charming Imp, that sort of thing, you name it. You can now keep them automatically on death.
Ooh, cool. Oh, they had some nice Dungeoneering updates this week in here.
Yeah, I figured you might find some of those interesting.
Woohoo! Let's see, Dungeoneering. Hex Hunter Bow has now been buffed again to make it much more powerful against magic base and PCs. Hex Hunter was the best bow in the game before EOC, and they kind of took a turn for the worse, so it's good to have that thing be very powerful again. Barge now works in Dungeoneering. Was Barge a little mega?
The Barge being it, was the one of the abilities, yes.
Shove one, kind of like you run into the melee person and everything. Yeah,
that's right.
They always have an issue. They always have an issue with those skills in that in there, which is kind of annoying. And gem bags are and a nice little tweak. So you can now, while you're having bank inventory, you can right click on the gem bag to empty it out into your inventory before putting it straight into the bank. So that's really nice, especially with all the gems we've been getting before. And good. Yeah. Oh, your bank pin that is now checked when redeeming bonds.
Oh, that's good.
Okay.
Oh, one more thing that we didn't mention in this week's update, and that's in the tweaks and fixes, is that engine support was added so that you could now buy and sell stuff on the Grand Exchange through the Companion app. And this actually works quite well. Basically, the only downside is that if it takes money from your money pouch and you can't exactly withdraw GP from the bank on the Companion into your money pouch. But this is a great way to, you know, check up on merchanting and whatnot on the go.
Cool.
So this is something people have been wanting for a long time as well.
And usually most people keep a really good large amount of money in the bank pouch, so this is not a huge, huge issue for many people. let's see. Oh, you said that already. And I think that's about it. Nothing jumps out at me right now. A couple of typos, graphical reworks of some of the monsters, including Earth Warriors, Rock Slugs, Necro, Possessed Pickaxes, Orcs, Joggers, Hellhounds, and Groks.
Good.
All right. Animation for traveling on. One more, Shane. Okay. The animation used to travel with Picard on a hot air balloon journey has been updated.
Really?
Come on. That's what it says here. You want to go on an enlightened journey, Shane?
Yeah, that was my favorite quest, in case anybody doesn't know.
I still remember that morning. It was so funny. I come in, it was before when I was still in college, and they have class in the afternoons. I did quest in the morning, opened up the game, saw a quest update, went to take a look. That looks like Picard. And I screamed, Shane, Picard's in the game! A couple hours later, Shane was like, you were so happy just to get Picard in. Weren't you, Shane? You remember that day?
Yeah,
I told you,
yeah.
Picard was in the game.
They need to do another Ciroc quest with that guy.
And Ciroc. Actually, no, yes. Ciroc's in jail.
Right.
Can I get my Wookiee now?
No. All right.
What's
we're
wrong
gonna
with Wookiees?
Oh, no. We're going to move on from the
Wookiee
tweaks and fixes now to another update this week that has been in the workings for a long time and is really something that the community should be jumping up and down about. So there's a bit of a story with this update. A long time ago, when Mark Gerard became CEO, he ran a poll asking people, would you pay $5 for a RuneScape security dongle that would give you a key when you log in to ensure that you have a login that's safe? The vast majority of the people, I think, in that poll didn't want such a thing, or even if the poll was successful, I believe that it was too expensive to be feasible. So fast forward to, I believe, a couple years ago in 2012, we saw the release of the JAGX Account Guardian, aka JAG. And basically what JAG was a way of allowing you to secure your account through the use of your recovery questions, which seems great on the surface, but what's the number one issue with recovery questions?
People forget, or people can just ask you, hey, what's your mom's name? And you get right in, back away, right? Get in.
Exactly. So, I mean, JAG works, and it's better than nothing. But this week we have something that's completely new, and that is the integration of Google Authenticator into RuneScape. So basically, if you have a smartphone, or you can even do this without a smartphone, is you can now have 100% secure two-factor authentication onto RuneScape, which dramatically decreases the prospects of your account being hacked. So I would highly recommend everyone out there who has an iPod Touch, an iPhone, a BlackBerry, or an Android phone, or even a Windows phone, to go pick up the Google Authenticator application on there and set it up with your RuneScape account. Now, it's very, very simple to do on a camera phone that uses this app, because all you got to do is you got to go to the RuneScape setup page, the Authenticator setup page, which is linked in the notes at update.rsbnb.com, and then you sign in, and you're given a QR code that you snap a photo of. And this just simply adds it to your Authenticator. And then when you log in, you'll be asked to enter this code. And you enter this code once every 30 days. And there you go.
So not every single time.
Is instantly secure. Yeah, I mean, basically what they do is they say, okay, you're logging in on such and such a computer, right? So if the hardware changes, we better ask for a new code. But if you say trust the computer, it won't. And you can just log in as you normally do.
Okay. So, you want your account secure from hacker? No.
Okay.
Not gonna bother.
Why not?
I have no reason to. Because, honestly, if you can get my RS password, I'm pretty screwed as it is.
Right, you have
mine's
your
pretty
levels of passwords and everything. So, but let's just have a bit of food for thought, shall we? Right now.
Okay.
So far, 25,000 people on the first day have signed up to use the Authenticator. Now, in comparison, only 22% of people were actually using JAG on RS, and RS customer support received 354 queries about JAG in the last week. And just under 17,000 requests regarding JAG in the last year pertaining to, you know, it not working or people having lost their recovery questions. So Authenticator is much more bulletproof from there, and it's just a much more secure solution all around, since it can't be socially engineered by asking you obvious questions like who is your mother's maiden name, what was your first pet's name, that sort of thing. So
honestly, wonder how many kids actually know their mother's maiden name.
Yeah, and I mean, there was lots of blowback in the forums about this, because, you know, people feel that JAG is 100% secure, but the question I gotta ask these people, and much like you said, it's because of the hassle, is are you guys who don't want to move to Authenticator and are fine with JAG, are you using predefined recovery questions that no one else will know the answer to? And if the answer is yes, no one else knows the answer, chances are you're pretty safe. But if not, then, well, you're prone to social engineering.
Okay.
And no, JAG will not be disabled later this summer.
Okay then, that's it for the Authenticator, so give it a whirl.
Yeah, I mean, it's really elegant, and there's no reason not to use it. It takes all of 30 seconds to set up for your account if you have a smartphone. And if you don't have a smartphone, you can actually set it up using a program called WinAuth. One of our friends of RSBNB created a video this week, Raji. He created a video to set this up, and he gives you two ways of doing it. So I'll put a link to that in the show notes.
Okay. You want to do that now or later?
No, I'll just throw it in, but you can continue on.
All right. Little mini news on Legacy Mode. They updated it slightly. A bunch of little fixes here and there. So some old styles animations have been reintroduced. No longer lag between switching items. Enchanted bolts now work in Legacy. damage from special attacks and legacy mode has been tweaked based on feedback. Always chat can now be toggled by right clicking the all chat option.
Oh,
Mike was having that issue with that, remember?
yeah, that's right.
Small little issue.
Something, you know what it said about being able to attack more reliably when you don't have a weapon? You know what that issue is fixing?
No.
That's fixing the issue of it taking between like 3 and 5 hits to kill an imp if you have no weapon enabled.
Oh, right. That's really annoying in EOC. That's big kill. I used to be able to do a falcon punch on an imp and it would die. And I was like, they actually escape now without I don't have a weapon, which is just annoying.
Yeah, and I mean that's what this is going to be fixing, and I already tested this, and it is pretty reliable, so that's good, right?
Do you have to be in legacy mode
Well,
for that to
no,
work?
it's a global change, it's listed under the global changes, so that's good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There's another major one that's good, but I was looking for clarification on how this works, and it's mainly just speculation at this point. But melee damage is more affected by the strength skill depending on the level of the weapon used. So, an example of this is if you have, for example, 1 strength or 30 strength, and you're attempting to use a dry core, you will suffer a damage penalty because of that. Whereas if you have a strength level that's equal to the attack level of that weapon, you will have the option of hitting in much the same way that you did before with that weapon. So that seems to be the general consensus as to how this is working. Whether or not that's absolutely true, I don't know. I wasn't able to find clarification on it.
I'm
What
ready.
else is here that's interesting? I mean, people really seem to like the old stance animations and the old icons and everything, and it seems as though that since those were released today, the general feedback of this legacy mode has gone up a bit. So I find that interesting that such a small change is able to have such a big impact. And of course, you know, the biggest ones still going on are the stats pertaining to armor and whatnot. But as far as we're concerned, that's set sail.
Okay, cool.
Let's see, was there anything else that we needed to mention here? No, I don't think so.
No.
But with it looking increasingly more like Legacy is coming into the game, I basically got to tell everybody once again to go into the game and test this out using the equipment that you're going to use, because if you don't, well, I mean, it's just not helping the beta, and you're really just contributing to the problem of people posting uneducated, unwarranted criticisms of this beta without actually knowing what the whole idea is of it. And, you know, that's something I delved into this week on Supplemental 2.
Okay. Let me see. Yeah, there's really nothing here. There's tweaks and fixes everywhere.
Yep, but check it out. And if you found the old stances interesting, that's good, I guess. I personally am not able to see much difference between the two, except for when they're actually fighting.
Okay. Let's see. Yeah. Legacy mode, it's cool, but it's not for you and me.
That's right.
Maybe once in a while it'll be good for you and me, but not right now.
Yeah, no. I mean, like I said last week, it just feels so much more efficient using the action bar and everything. So I will not be using Legacy that often once it arrives.
Okay, and what's next do we have here? We got the RuneFest 2014 in London.
Ah, yeah. Announced for October 11th. If anybody from the RSPB community is going, let us know and we'll get you on the show before and after to tell us what you think of it. I will not be making that trip. It's just too much of a commitment for a one-day thing from all the way over here. And at this point, I'm not looking at doing a trip all around the UK and centering it around RuneFest at some point in the future, perhaps, but not this year. Any prospects of you going to RuneFest this year?
You going to take me to London?
No.
Then no.
Alrighty, fair enough. Well, like I said, then, if anybody in the update audience or the RSBNB community is going, let us know and we'll set something up with you.
Yes. And if you get any goodies, it's all yours to keep, giggity.
Yeah, they give them nice goodies. I know when Alex went last year, he came out with some very good stuff and, of course, was a part of the whole Guinness World Record attempt. So very good indeed.
It was?
Yep. They set the record for the longest party cracker cracking chain.
Interesting. Yep. Okay.
Alrighty, next up is one of Jagex's podcasts. This one I highly encourage everybody to listen to. It provides a bit of an insight on game balancing with Mod Timbo. Basically goes into how they look at updates and determining how powerful or how underpowerful they need to be. And talked about specifically was the Skill Champa update where their goal was to create a benefit of 10% bonus XP for skillers while also keeping the current Jadinko area competitive for just getting pure hunter XP. So it's very interesting to hear the thought process of how something needs to be balanced. He said one of his biggest faults in balancing was the Ascension dungeon where you have these people who are high-level combat and, you know, these creatures are dropping silly things like unstrung maple bows and flax and bowstrings, and he said that was not acceptable, and that's why they ended up with that. And one of the things, if he was doing RuneScape differently now, is that you would not get primary ingredients as a drop from critters, so you would need to specifically go to places to, you know, for example, farm herbs, that sort of thing, logs, or you name it. Which would also be good for the economy of those private skills.
Okie dokie.
Alrighty, what do we got for our last piece today?
And finally, they release a little short video, episode 1, Road to the Elf City. And it's basically a little overview of the city with Ahmad dressing as an overgrown leprechaun.
Yeah, that's Ahmad Osborn. I think that's a good outfit for him. So basically, just a very, very early preview of this update. So don't read too much into it because it's still in the prototype phase. And this is a bi-weekly occurrence here. And he basically gave us a bit of an overview of what the map of the cities is going to look like at the moment.
And basically, we're kind of looking at the city quest, I guess, being released around September.
Yep.
Because he did talk about how in September we'll be releasing this half of the city, and then later on during the year we'll release the other half. So I was like, so that means the quest doesn't really come out until September?
Yeah, and I think that is the timeline that we were predicted to be on, and I mean that's perfectly fine for this. And looks like progress is being made at a pretty good rate, so definitely probably going to be the biggest update that we'll ever end up covering, I think. Maybe second biggest would only have been construction.
It should be a live show.
Oh, I'm sure it
should be a live show somehow.
We'll see about that.
What's the other thing? Yeah, so give this a look. It talks about the city, different areas of the city, things you can do, what happens when you're at the center of the city, and I don't know. It's bits and pieces everywhere.
Alrighty. Very good. That is Road to the Elf City, Episode 1. That pretty much does us in for RS.
Hmm? The Phantom Menace? Oh, wait, sorry, wrong genre. Never mind.
Okay. So we're going to move right on to questions right now, and the first one is from X-Blades. And he says, be sure to ask you how your first task of Eru went.
And this is not a question, this is a statement, therefore it doesn't count. Move on to the next one.
No, no. What happened?
Move on to the next one.
Tell us what happened.
Nothing happened. Me and him were just co-op slaying, and we had fun.
Is there some other story here that you're not telling us? Because I know those maybe creatures are fairly strong.
Your point is?
I just want to know what happened.
I died.
Oh.
With him watching over my corpse. I clicked on the wrong button when I was trying to use Flurry, clicked off the thing, and it did the make a stomp thing, and I died, like, oops. But everything was there, came back, grabbed all my stuff, grabbed some more food from my bag, and just went back to killing stuff again.
Okay.
And and you know what I told him, though, right?
What did you say?
I told him not to tell Shane. Jerk. I'm gonna... but yeah, I was doing this. Well, I'll tell more later on, but that's basically what happened.
How do you fight those things, anyways?
Dual weapon or range? You have to be dual wielding or range because of the stomp ability.
What does dual
basically has the ability? It basically has the ability to use a special attack that does a lot of damage. And the only way to break that or prevent it when it's using it is to either use Flurry or Rapid Fire. And Flurry is only available on two-handed weapons, and Rapid Fire is only available with a range. So, yeah.
Oh, is that because they're damage over time abilities?
Honestly, it just says how you stun it, so how you break it. So that's what I'm going with.
All right. That's good.
Yes, and I'm going to hurt him later. Oh, let there be light. It's getting dark. Okay, what's next?
Next one is another one from Carpi. Beloved RSBMB Update hosts, what is the most amount of herbs that you've received from a single patch? I'm also thinking about starting to watch Star Trek, but I feel it would be But I feel that it would be odd to watch the original series as there would be no nostalgia and I look old. Where could I start? P.S. What did you guys do for tertiary education? Thanks. Carpi out.
All right. So, where would you start off first?
I would start off first by answering the herb question. My most amount of herbs from a herb run has been 72.
I think it was for one patch. So yeah, single patch, Shane.
Oh, I don't know about single patch. I don't keep track of that. The amount is 7.
30 is pretty decent, isn't it?
Yeah, I've had it fill my inventory up before, so 25, 26 probably. But overall, on a total run, 72, give or take.
Yeah, I think as a whole, we just 30-ish has been pretty good. 30 is pretty good, really, really good if you get it.
Yeah, and remember, of course, you have the potion and the green fingers, which give you a chance to harvest extras, so just be sure to check the floor if your inventory overflows, and that's happened once or twice before, so there's an answer for that one. But where would you start with that? The easiest example of where you would start would say at the very beginning, but I completely understand, you know, it looks old and no nostalgia and whatsoever. But the original series is a okay place to start. But if you find you can't get into that, you could save it until the very end if you like. and just start with the Next Generation. And warning is that the Next Generation series 1 and 2 is pretty slow. Next Generation is classic Star Trek. Deep Space Nine is based very much so around tight storytelling. Some of the best episodes ever have come out of Deep Space Nine, so Deep Space Nine is one of my favorites.
Voyager's cool. Enterprise, later on, well, what, the last two seasons were pretty good because it had a really interesting storyline arc that was going on.
I enjoyed the first two seasons of Enterprise more.
Well, later on, last season of Enterprise, they really just did the whole Expanse and the whole Romulan in the beginnings of the Federation, which I thought was good. It instead of just going episode by episode, there was just one nice, overall plot theme.
Yeah, they did serialize storytelling with that before it was really caught on, and I think if you were to see something like that today, it would be like either, like you said, seasons 3 or 4 of Enterprise.
And okay to watch the original series. I watched it. It was cool. You know, classic moments. And you get to relive the original cast. And if you are a U.S. citizen, you can actually watch all of these for free on StarTrek.com with limited commercial interruptions.
I know also that Netflix has these available, pretty much the entire series of all of them. So that's an option as well. I know Earth is going through them right now. He's currently on season 4 of Voyager. He's done TNG, DS9, and he's also done parts of the original series until he got to the 3rd season, which just were really, not bearable. But I mean, overall, TNG is the best place to start. And I mean, if you guys ever wanted to throw a dream question to me, it would be to outline your top 5 favorite episodes. I wouldn't even know where to begin for that.
don't worry about it. Okay. Thanks, Kappa.
Oh, the education bit. Do you want to say? Or do you want to keep that a bit quiet?
You go first.
Okay. I did a computer science degree at our university here, the University of Alberta. It was a very theoretically based computer science degree, which, depending on how you look at it, that's either a good or a bad thing based on what you want to go into. Some people prefer the theory. Some people prefer the practice. So it really depends.
Okay. And I went to San Jose State University, realized nursing wasn't for me, and went into public health. And I've loved it ever since.
That's good. Thank you, Carpi, for that question. Anybody else who wants to send in questions, the topics are posted weekly on the forums at rsbnb.com/forums, or you can send us audio questions to questions@rsbnb.com. Just be sure to attach the audio file there, and we'll get your question on the show as soon as we can. Or you can just leave us a voicemail on Skype. The username is rsbnbupdate. Alrighty, tech news of the week. We got some interesting stories this week. First one is kind of a good article pertaining to net neutrality. Now, you know we've talked about net neutrality before, right?
Yes.
There's a problem with net neutrality and the way it's portrayed on the internet and portrayed by people in general. They don't understand what is going on with it. And in order to be fully informed about how that and how the internet really works at a higher level, in terms of net neutrality, you need to know that it's not a matter of not being able to effectively reach the server providers, and you know you're on your ISP. Then you go through your ISP through an internet backbone and make contact with someone like Google or Facebook. That's how people really think it works. And what the common misconception of net neutrality is that ISPs don't control the bandwidth and they can charge for access in order to access these websites in a much more premium fashion. But here's the way the internet really works. Each ISP that you're connected to, Comcast, Cox, Charter, that kind of thing in the U.S., the big ones at least have peering relationships with various websites, big websites, content providers, that sort of thing. So Google, Facebook, Akamai for streaming media, Netflix is another example. So basically what happens is that you send out a request for some sort of video on Netflix, right?
Okay.
And then your ISP says you want to go to Netflix and get this video. But in order to decrease the amount of time that it takes and to serve it up in a faster fashion, Netflix has what's called peering agreements with your ISP so that these servers are effectively running on the internet service provider's network. Now, the ISP pays, or gets paid rather, from these companies, so Google, Netflix, etc., to put these servers on their network, which provides or should provide premium access for the customers, one would think. But the issue that comes up with net neutrality is that the ISPs also run their own routers that control the way the traffic flows on their segment of the internet. And what's been happening recently, over the past decade, at least in North America, is that internet service providers are not upgrading their routing software and routing hardware in such a way to keep up with all of the increased demand. So in a way, what's going on is that, okay, they're getting a bit of money from Netflix and whatnot for that, but at the same time, the ISPs have no incentive to improve the customer experience because, hey, I mean, we can have some packets that are dropped coming in, and it's just going to take you a little bit while to a little longer to get your Netflix content. So basically, at the end of the day, what ends up happening is the ISPs have no incentive to upgrade, and that is why you feel a dropped connection. And that is where the debate of net neutrality needs to be focused around.
Well, the other issue is there's no competition, no real competition here in the U.S. for ISPs. You either use Comcast or Time Warner or AT&T. And if you hate one of them, well, the other ones aren't really that great. And it's been shown year and year and year again that these companies are usually very often rated at the very bottom of customer satisfaction. And, you know, with Comcast attempting to acquire Time Warner when they already, do not forget, have acquired NBC, that makes them very deadly. And
yeah. And they, continue. I lost my train of thought.
Basically, if they do acquire Time Warner, they basically will have the biggest share of internet, and basically they can literally charge whatever they want. And there's really no one to really fight them, except maybe Google. But you know, Google will have a hard time competing with something that big.
Yeah, that's true. And
you know, and lawsuits. Never forget lawsuits.
Yeah, and like the lack of competition is the main problem here, because without the lack of competition, there's no reason for the ISPs to feel the need to upgrade these networks to improve the packet connection, because there's nowhere else for people to go. And even if they did, they're probably still going through the same hardware and fiber. So that's the common misconception with net neutrality, is that not that your traffic, that the ISP, the backbone or whatever, just wants to, you know, control it so that you don't get priority access to Netflix. It's just that they don't want to upgrade this hardware because of that money that it would cost to do that.
And until Comcast, Verizon, AT&T actually gives a rat's behind about their customers, it ain't gonna get better. I'd have to say I love Verizon for their phone. I don't trust them for the internet, though. And again, there's really no one to really trust with the internet here in the US, so name your poison. And time, and you know, in common, the common consensus within everybody is do not even in try to use Time Warner. Period. Do not. They are rated the worst ISP company, what, for almost half a decade now?
Yeah, well, it used to be AOL, right?
Well, I don't know. AOL, people still use AOL, you know that, right?
Yeah, that's
You know
true.
what? You know what their main who their main target is? Who
Who?
their target basically old people who, you know how every lab computer still installed with AOL, even today, it's part of their little package. That's their target. The old people who say, "Oh, I think I do need internet. Oh, I'll subscribe to this and be okay." That's their biggest money maker right there.
Yeah.
They're still surviving, so which pretty much means people are still using them. And you know, remember I told you about my aunt? She said after her AOL free trial thing was done, she thought it would be okay to go with the cheapest ISP, which at the time was NetZero. And even though we tried to tell her, don't go cheap on this, you will regret it. Did she listen? No. Until finally she caved in and just grabbed AT&T and said, why didn't I do this earlier? Do you pay for the convenience? You get what you pay for. And you know,
Exactly.
she's happy with AT&T right now. Although, for me, I like Comcast for because I get a little bit of speed, but it's costing me an arm and a leg. Although, have to admit, Google, checking out the prices for was it Google Fiber, it's actually more expensive for me to switch to them, even though it's a lot faster. But as of right now, I'm getting good enough speed as it is, but. If Google can make it cheaper or around the same price, I guarantee you they'll take off easily.
Yeah. All right. Well, the next
That's
story in
enough.
tech news this week is actually pertaining to Google. There was some fear that the Google Nexus devices might be being discontinued because of a new initiative that was announced, but no, that is not the case. The program manager says that Nexus devices can't ever go away. So Google is committed to their line of Nexus phones and tablets. And you know, this is a good thing because it really does create a semblance of what pure Android should look like, and to me is the most appealing version of Android because you don't have any crap hardware, you don't have any bad extra software installed. It's just pure Google Android and a pure simple phone device that actually have been quite built quite well recently. So I'm glad that this is actually not happening, just you know, given that you know Android people do need something else nice to have for their hardware as well. So I'm definitely thinking that this is a good thing that it is not going away. And there's a prospect of an updated Nexus device coming this fall. You ever think of upgrading to Google Nexus or Nexus 5 or whatever the next one's going to be?
No, I was that a tablet or the phone?
The Nexus 5 is the phone, the Nexus 7 is the tablet. And they do
They're
support the
too
upcoming
big.
OS release. Yeah.
They're too big. I don't want a phablet. I want a phone. Why can't they figure that out? Do they honestly? I don't know. Do they honestly expect a tiny Asian girl to carry that big of a phone? There's a reason iPhone is so popular. It's a decent size for those who
Yeah.
have small hands.
And you know
And
what?
I.
I gotta say that in the past week, I opened up the tech drawer and pulled out my iPhone 4. And the iPhone 4 is really, for me, the ideal size for a phone. The iPhone 5S is manageable, but the 4 just feels so much more ideal, and I wish that Android developers would, you know, maybe for a change, actually try and copy what one of the iPhones looks like and actually come up with something that isn't so huge. I just do not like how wide those Androids' phones are.
There was one phone I really wanted, but when I was looking at the reviews, they said the battery life on that thing was totally junk. I said, oh, forget it. It's not worth it then.
One was that?
God, I can't remember. It's the one with a physical keyboard, kind of can open up sideways. I really cannot remember.
Yeah,
that's right before I got the. It was right before I got the Bionic.
Oh, okay.
Now I have the Droid Max, and you know, I like the Droid Max. I just wish it was a little bit smaller. That's it.
All right. Yep, that's it for that one. But yeah, definitely good news for the Android front. And if I ever was to switch to Android, that's good, because that is the only Android phone that I would actually use, would be something that was official like that. All right. And in other Google news this week, they're having their annual developers conference where they unveil the Android L, which is going to be the next version of the operating system that has a major UI change and just on a whole looks more modern. And they're really changing the whole way that they design the operating system, inside graphically at least. So that's Android L. Any guesses what the L would stand for?
Lubby Dubby?
Yeah, could be. I was thinking Lollipop.
I was thinking it was something sweet because of all the Kit Kats and jelly beans. I was like, Mike, who came up with these names? Are you on jelly bean? I'm on what? I'm on jelly bean. I'm on Kit Kat. Like, who came up with? Who decided Kit Kat and jelly bean was a good way to call the OS?
Yeah, and I mean they're named after sweet things, desserts, and whatnot. But I'd say Lollipop or maybe Lemon Meringue, who knows, something like that. But
Lemon Freezy.
yeah, it could be something like that.
Or maybe they'll Android just change it up and be, maybe just call it a lemon, make it sour.
Yeah. Well, I mean, lemon sour, but I mean, do you really want a sour operating system running your phone? I don't think so. But yeah, the UI for this stuff looks kind of like the iOS flatness of it, of course, minus the keyboard and everything. But this is just seems to be the next iteration in design. We're going for a more monochromatic type thing with colors and various different colors all associated with each other, use of like drop shadows and a bit of transparency effects here and whatnot, compositing multiple colors together. So that's what I think L looks like. But also, the thing that perhaps more people are interested in is Android Wear. Basically, Android's smartwatch type thing in which they hope to beat Apple to the punch.
Was that a sweet innuendo thing? Punch for punch?
No, it was not.
I don't want a smartwatch. I think that's... You know what they're going to have? You know what's going to happen if we ever get a smartwatch, right?
What's that?
They'll forget to actually display the time. You know this will happen.
So the way these are ultimately going to end up working is that they will pull data from your smartphone. So your smartphone will be essentially the hub in the whole communication situation here. And what you're going to be able to do is say, you know, look on this and be able to like use that power from the phone to send information to the watch through Bluetooth or something like that. Examples they give are, for example, who you're supposed to meet when, your calendar, the current temperature, some directions of where you're supposed to go, basically saying it's time to go there. Then I imagine you click it and it would pop up on your phone to do that. So it definitely interesting in seeing the way this would work. Of course, also fitness and whatnot. But interestingly, Google Now support too, so you just talk and then it would, you know, be able to fully guide you to the next thing you need to do. And I remember talking when Google Now first came out, and same thing with sort of Siri on iOS, is that, you know, you're going to ultimately end up saying that you're going to have this device, and basically your interaction with the internet will become seamless through this. And I think that is ultimately the way that technology is going to go, is to become less and less visible, and the watch is the first step to that. And then after that, we get rid of the need for the actual phone on your body through that, and you can just mainly use the watch for that, but that probably won't be for some time. And then really far down the road, you have the ability of having, you know, the augmented reality built into your eyes through the custom contact lenses, and being able to always hear stuff through mini sound transmitters placed in your ears. So we're essentially moving towards decreasing the footprint of the computer and ensuring technology is all around us.
Okay.
And I guarantee that whenever Apple releases it, its watch, it will totally make these Android watches look like playthings. That always happens with Apple stuff. Android hasn't yet been able to get a significant jump on Apple for anything, and it's just something that Apple is able to pull off.
We still have the bigger share of the market.
Yeah, they do, but, I mean, bigger share of the market doesn't necessarily mean better. It's just because Google is willing to give Android away and have it so cheap on hardware, where, you know, iOS has its own platform.
What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that.
It's good competition between cell phone companies.
Yeah, and I mean, you gotta really look at the market and who wants what, and I guess that's what will ultimately drive it, right? All right, okay. So you're not getting one of these. You have anything else you want to say pertaining to Wear or L?
Lollipop, 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 lollipop.
Okay. Well, that's it for tech news, everyone. Hope you enjoyed that.
Okay, and guess we're moving on to skill of the month. And who's winning, Shane?
And you even need to ask that question for this month?
Maybe someone went totally nuts within the last 24 hours. Who knows?
No, that is not the case. Bletherskite's still in first place with 46.7 million experience gained. Second place, Parnassius with 5.8, making a somewhat decent improvement on the XP. You can actually see there's a bit of a deviation here between second and third. Third place is MageGuy08 with 815,000 experience gained.
Okay.
So yeah, you don't need to ask that question. And the skill of the month for July is divination. Not combat. That's good.
Okay. Now fun with divination.
Yep.
And achievements of the week, we have one person this week. Shane, use it.
Sorensen, 57, with 99 prayer on the 21st. Congratulations there.
Woo!
Good work. Now, I believe you have a pick for us.
It's a way to make yourself feel smarter. It's a factoid website.
What is it?
It's a factoid website.
How does it work?
Factoid. It's basically, basically when you're kind of bored and you just want to know little tidbits here and there, you just press start and you can either click or use the arrow keys to learn little facts about the world here and there.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, which one did you get? And you know, you can actually put a number in. If you actually look at the URL when you after you click start, there's actually a number that corresponds to each little factoid. So you can actually put a number in and see what you get if you were looking for
Okay.
something specific.
The creator of Sherlock Holmes, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, helped two falsely accused men out of prison after solving the already closed cases. In
Happy with that one?
Australia, kangaroo meat can be purchased from the supermarket butcher and available on restaurant menus as a leaner and healthy alternative to beef or lamb, with a 1 to 2% fat content.
Woohoo!
Interesting.
Lean.
Okay, so this is
Yeah, that's Cressella.
basically is basically a way of teaching yourself some interesting factoids, right?
And that's it. So it's a lesson website. You can just have some fun with it.
Oh, that's good. Instanerd.me. Lots of them seem to be about animals and whatnot.
A
So that's
little
good.
bit. Let's see. I can't remember which one I found this morning. Well, earlier, I would say. Me.
The
Something
Godzilla?
about blood type. No, what's it got to? It's about blood type.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, go ahead, take a look, you know, spend some time here, and yeah, you'll learn a little here thing here and there.
Yeah, definitely good to surprise people with what you know and share things that most people don't know. Like US eggs would be illegal in a British supermarket because they're washed. British eggs are illegal in the US because they're unwashed. Interesting. All right. That sounds
Let's
good.
see. Yeah, so give it a whirl.
Alrighty, very good. What have you been up to this week?
What I've been up to this week? I've been working my butt off all week. That's what's been happening. Yeah, that's a lot of working. I actually been doing co-op Slayer most of the week and doing my ports. I actually upgraded all of my ships today, so yay, all my ships are top of the line now. Every little thing's upgraded because I can't find the crew member that I want. Or the captain. My god, I want a better captain. But I can't
Who are
get
you
one,
looking
which
for?
is a combat one. I need a combat captain. Yeah, that's really all I did. Use my enlightenment aura this week and the crystal thing to get some XP a bit. Quick farming run with all the trees that I grew.
That's good.
A farming run. Although now I'm running low on seeds, so I may do a little trip to the cape, to my kingdom.
Yeah, that's a good way of getting seeds. And I mean, if you want to plant magic trees, but you don't want to incur the expense, that's definitely the best way of doing it. Same goes for spirit trees. That's the easiest way to get them, unless you want to do a ton of wood cutting. Anyways, as for me this week, I've just been doing, the usual herb farming runs, some tree runs, and I also started up on the Herblore project as well. So, been working on that, and it's nice to get back to those skills that I love doing so much. In addition to that, I also been working on the ports as well. This week I completed the final storyline mission in order to get the 50 plate plus however much of a bonus you have on it. So I'm only upwards of now 26 plate off from smithing my superior Tetsu armor, so that's coming along nicely. What else is there this week? Aside from the ports, I also did some dragon scale collecting because I wanted to collect my own scales rather than incurring a loss. So that was actually decent and a nice way to just spend some time doing stuff on RS. And I should note that today, as you guys are listening to this, the 28th of June, it is the 10th year that I've been an active member on RuneScape. It was June 28th, 2004 that I first activated RuneScape membership.
Cool.
So there we go. 10 years being an RS member, and really haven't let it lapse at all since then. But that's it for me, unless you have anything else you'd like to mention to our dear listeners.
Happy July 4 weekend next week to all my American brethren and sisters. Happy vacation and a fine day of RuneScaping to you all.
Alrighty, well, that's it for this week's episode of RSBNB Update. If you want to see more of what we're up to or chat with us during the week, just find us on the Twitter at RSBNB Staff. And if you're interested in talking to me on RS, just add me in, Shane12088, and I'll see what I can do for you if you have any questions or you just want to chat, talk about the podcast or anything you've been up to.
Mm-hmm.
See you next week, everyone.
I want my Wookiee.